Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. I believe, this is my belief, when we're done talking about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, when we look back, you'd be like, man, Kevin Durant was a bad boy. He was a bad mamma jamma. Bad mamma jamma. Right? And I think it's absolutely fascinating. Fascinating. That this bad mamma jamma, while he's incredibly well regarded by players in the league, there's always that, yeah, but, right? Yeah, but. KD's great. Yeah, but he had to join the Warriors in order to win two championships. KD's awesome. Yeah, but he gave up a 3-1 lead when he's in Oklahoma City. KD's amazing. Yeah, but he went to Brooklyn because he needed somebody else to take some of that white hot spotlight like Kyrie Irving. And he wanted to get out of Golden State, out of the shadow of Steph Curry. There's the yeah, but. Fair or unfair? And look, I think he's done some of the damage to himself with his use of social media and the defensiveness by which he answers questions from the media. Like, I don't think he's done himself a ton of favors. Kevin Durant is an all-time great player. If he never plays another game, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he's going to play another game, I believe. You know? I mean, look at how incredibly accomplished he already is at 31 years old. And he'll turn 32 in September. He's a two-time finals MVP. He's a most valuable player of the league in 2014, a 10-time All-Star. I don't know if you care that he was a two-time All-Star Game MVP. He was the best player and go-to scorer on not one but two Olympic teams. Right? He's a 6-time All-NBA first team and 3-time All-NBA second team. Plus, he's led the league in scoring. I think he's led the league in scoring 4 times. Like, that dude's a bucket. But you think of him as the runner, right? He's the runner. He's in Oklahoma City. No, he's in Oakland. No, he's in Brooklyn. So I watched the Nets play last. You guys watch the Nets play last night? Like, that was fun. The Nets already in the playoffs. All their big name players, aside from maybe Caris LeVert, and I don't know if Caris LeVert's a big name player, they all decided to stay home. Right? DeAndre Jordan's like, yeah, I got COVID. Like, yeah, dudes had COVID. They reacted. They recovered. They come down. He didn't want to come down. Kevin Durant was cleared to play. He didn't come down to train. Kyrie Irving, same thing. Didn't come down to train. Spencer Dinwiddie had COVID. He's had injuries. So that's like 4 of their top 5 players didn't come. And then there's some other dudes that didn't come as well. I mean, it felt like the beginning of the movie Major League. Hey, what do you think about managing the big club? I don't know, Charlie. I got a guy in the other line about some white walls, right? And they call, what was the catcher's name? Where he's down in Mexico and he thinks they're messing with him because his knees are so bad. That's what putting together the Brooklyn Nets look like. And they've been really good and really fun to watch. And everyone seems to come away with the same conclusion. I hope Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving don't screw this thing up, right? Then you got Kyrie, who, immense talent. Like, that dude can make, he is arguably, I wouldn't say inarguably, but arguably the best finishing guard in the league. What's that mean? That means the ability to make shots around the rim and out the rim. You know, he went from flat earth, you know, flat earth to let's make our own league. You know, there's something suspicious about the bubble and rounding us all up and putting us in a bubble during this time of social unrest. Like, he said some things, you're like, what? And then you have the fact that LeBron couldn't get wait to get rid of him in Cleveland. He goes to Boston. They're better without him than with him. Now in Brooklyn, they're having a ton of fun without him again. He unprovoked No one asked for him to say it, but he grabbed the microphone and said, if you'll have me, I'm going to re-sign an extension, which he didn't do. And then he gets to Brooklyn, and while he's hurt half the year, he had the chutzpah, which means balls, he had the chutzpah to say, like, you know, I just don't think we're you know, we have enough good players to win a championship. And there's, like, guys in the room like, hey, you know we can all read here, right? You're talking about me when you came here because of our culture, and part of our culture was it wasn't about any one guy. And now you're saying, well, it's about me not having enough guys around me. Oh, so look, Kyrie's a guy. Kevin Durant's a guy who's really respected and well-liked by most NBA guys, or really well-liked, but maybe not as respected because of his moves, right? But his game is respected. Kyrie, his game and talent is respected, but as a guy, he's just seen as odd and a hard fit and hard to coach. You know, he's the first guard ever to not dig playing for Brad Stevens. Like, what? What? You know, 5'9½" Isaiah Thomas was an MVP candidate playing for Brad Stevens. And Kyrie Irving, like, just can't figure out Brad. Right? I mean, that's like a quarterback not liking playing for Bruce Arians. Right? Wait, I get to drop back and throw it deep and just, you know. I mean, Jameis Winston couldn't stop throwing the other team. He still threw for 5,000 yards last year. Anyway, I feel like this next year, we've all gotten a chance to see what Brooklyn has built and how they truly like to play without those guys. You add them both, and if it's a disaster, it is not good for their legacy, nor should it be. And it's interesting because Kevin Durant should be viewed as, if you want to say LeBron James, the top player of this era, I'm okay with that. Kevin Durant should be viewed as the second best player of this era. He's the best scorer of this era, a better scorer and better overall player than Carmelo Anthony, and a champion. You know, and frankly, like, Kawhi Leonard's different, but if I had to pick one, I would pick Kevin Durant 6 days a week, twice on Sunday, and I love Kawhi Leonard. But that legacy gets complicated because of the running. And for Kyrie, you know, when we talk about Steph and we talk about Damian Lillard and we talk about James Harden and Russell Westbrook, Kyrie should be right in that conversation. But between all of the injuries and all of the pushback, you know, where he fights you on everything, it's just hard to have that discussion. It just really is. This next year will be a year that defines the longtime lasting legacy of two guys who will be in the Hall of Fame, two guys who are all-time greats, but two guys who have different kind of strains, issues in terms of their past teams and past relationships. All right, coming up next, there's an NBA coach who I feel like is not getting enough respect. He's actually doing a hell of a job, and once again, it is not really a question they're going to come up short. Tell you who that is next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I've been watching the Houston Rockets this year. And remember, they traded away their bigs in order to go all small ball. And, you know, in different circumstances, it was in fact working. James Harden and Russell Westbrook, they had some great stretches. Now, Westbrook's hurt again. And remember, this comes on the back of the Westbrook trade. And one of the reasons Oklahoma City got out of the Russell Westbrook business was that he had a year longer left on his deal than Chris Paul did. And Westbrook has started to break down. He had four knee surgeries. Now, all of a sudden, you know, he pulls a quad. Granted, can't see that coming, but you can see the fact that he's been injured so often. Sam Amick said this: if D'Antoni does leave Houston, as many expect, Ty Lue would get a serious look from the Rockets, with Jeff Van Gundy, Candace says, likely leading the way. And look, I think Jeff Van Gundy'd be great. I don't know how Ty Lue would do. I can only tell you this: like, Mike D'Antoni is widely regarded as a tremendous coach. Do I think he's a championship coach? No, because he doesn't. He himself doesn't pay as much attention to to defense. You know, he just doesn't. Like my dad coached with, you know, Tex Winter, the late Tex Winter, the mentor of the triangle offense. My dad, when we moved out to California, it was so my dad could be his assistant at Long Beach State. And he told me, like, look, he's an absolute savant genius on the offensive side. I've never seen anything like it. The triangle in the pros was called the triple post when he was in college. And the theory behind that offense, was perfect spacing, 15 to 18 foot. Everybody's, and so every drill you did, you maintain perfect spacing. What was the flaw to Tex Winter? Well, when they'd start coaching defense, he would leave practice. He would actually walk out the door. And that's the same essentially with Mike D'Antoni, where, like, I was told there were times in New York they didn't even do defensive drills. You know, hey, just guard your yard. We'll tell you what to do, and you just got to do that. Defense isn't well, let's just do this to get ready to play offense. Like, that's not the way it worked. And I think there's a very good chance when they lose in the playoffs, and they'll probably lose in the first round because Russell Westbrook's hurt, and who succeeds in the playoffs oftentimes is a function of who's healthy, not who's actually better. If you look at it, 3 years ago, Chris Paul got hurt. 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, they missed 27 straight threes. You know, last year you had a new owner, a ton of pressure. And, I mean, look, the Warriors are just better, right? Just better. So you had these things going. Actually, last year the year Chris Paul was hurt? Chris Paul was hurt. So 2 years ago, 27 straight threes. Last year, Chris Paul was hurt. And this year, and they're playing the Warriors are just better than them. And then this year, Russell Westbrook gets hurt. So these are, remember, when he was in Phoenix, they probably would have beaten the Spurs. They had beaten the Spurs in San Antonio, only Boris Diaw and Amari Stoudemire got suspended for a game because they got up off the bench when Steve Nash got thrown into the boards. So it's like these are legacy-changing things because there wasn't one win or because they weren't healthy. And I don't think he's the greatest coach ever. I don't believe he's truly a championship coach because teams don't play enough defense. But I do think that he's done a great job. Is that hedging a little bit? Sure. And there is no promise that Ty Lue would do it any better, seeing as Ty Lue's only won a championship when he had LeBron, Kyrie.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Baker Mayfield said this. I like this. I lost myself in the Browns' chaos last season. Having success in high school and college and having a standard that's so high, the past couple of years has just been a roller coaster of emotions, not nearly as much success as I'm used to, said Mayfield, who won the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma in 2017 and was the number one overall pick in the 2018 draft. So I would say I lost myself, not having success, not finding out what was working. I think I tried different ways of trying to have success, and I just didn't find it. So I lost myself. I wasn't able to be who I need to be for these guys on the team. He had some weight issues last year. Mayfield showed up at training camp last week, having added 4 pounds of lean mass, cutting the body fat. And he's supposedly, per his new GM, in terrific shape. I think there was a lot of plays looking back last year. Physically, I wasn't able to work out as much being beaten up. So I was heavier than I was ever playing before. Interesting. I mean, like, look, the idea of slugging a, you know, when you're America's guest, do you go and slug a beer at a game? Like, I guess you can, but did you work out all day like a madman? And you remember there's the picture of him and with the tiger from last year. And I mean, it was funny and brash, but he was a little thick and I'm sure he got thicker. He just didn't take care of himself. Now, does that mean that he'll take care of himself and all of a sudden it's all better? No, I don't think so. I think he's got a chance, and I do think his brashness does help him. I think he's got to rediscover it, but I'm interested in Kevin Stefanski, who, when he called plays last year, the wide receivers were pissed because he ran the football so much, and they're going to try and run it to death. Will Baker be cool with that? Will the wide receivers be cool with that? It also shows they put way too much on his shoulders. You know, he was a guy who, you know, he acted like he could handle it all because he had had so much success. But sometimes you have success and goes to your head a little bit. A little bit. I don't know. Ryan, you betting on or against the Browns to be good this year?
I think they'll be better than last year. I still think that they're probably going to not make the playoffs. Well, I guess this is the first year that they're expanding the playoffs, so they might be on the fringe there. But I obviously the Ravens are still going to be among not just in that division, but the best teams in the NFL. And it'll be interesting to see what becomes of the Steelers. I mean, think of how good the Steelers were last year, despite having Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. So I think if, while Ben Roethlisberger, who he's sort of been known to be and coming back from the injury that he had, I don't think he's going to be among like the best quarterbacks in the league. If he's somewhat better than what they already had last year, and they basically have a lot of the same players returning from last season, I still think that the Steelers are going to be a really good team. And those easy give me wins against the Bengals. Look, I still think the Bengals aren't going to be great, but they also should be improved after being the league's worst team last year. The Browns should be better. I just don't think that they're going to make that jump to like an 11 or 12 win team and make like a serious run. I think it's still going to be really hard for them to make the playoffs.
I think they'll be pretty good. I mean, like the thing we don't know is we don't know Pittsburgh. We don't know what Big Ben, like we have zero idea what Big Ben's could be like.
Yeah, I mean, but at least with the Steelers last year, and you know, you could always expect some regression, I suppose, but the Steelers still had a really, really good defense last year. And I think that's what's going to continue to give Baker Mayfield issues is the Ravens should have a good defense. The Steelers should still have a good defense. You know, these teams that he has to face twice a year is what's going to prevent them from taking that next step. Not necessarily are they getting into shootouts, you know, with the likes of a Big Ben.
No question, but I would also tell you that you know, we just don't know what Big Ben's going to look like. And yes, those defenses are really good, but as we've seen from the Niners and we saw from the Vikings last year, and we like these teams that can dominate the game running the football, and they have a really good stable of backs, and they have a rebuilt, should be pretty good offensive line. I actually think it's a very good plan. I think it's a very, very good plan.
I think it's a good plan. I guess I just wonder if it's that plan that's going to take beyond just this year, right? I mean, like you talked about and you pointed out how his rookie season, it was like they beat up a couple of bad teams and then they would lose to all the good teams. But because the Browns were so bad the years prior, it was like, oh my gosh, Baker Mayfield, these guys are superstars. And then, you know, they take the regression last year. And it's like, okay, if they improve this year, sure. But are we really talking maybe 2 or 3 years now from now is when they're going to really be a playoff contender?
Right. No, I get it. I think they're really a playoff contender this year. I don't think there's any plans for them, and nor do they have to. Should they have to wait or any of that stuff? All right. Chris Mannix joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, he writes for Sports Illustrated. Mannix, let me first start with Damian Lillard. I feel like this is the perfect storm, right? Like, he gets his two big guys back. He's all about basketball. He's catching a heater, and he's carrying a team. And we're kind of going overboard on where he fits in the landscape of NBA players because it's just 8 games, right? If we take these 8 games to be law, well, then Phoenix is one of the best teams in the NBA. We take these 8 games to be law, then TJ Warren is one of the top 2 or 3 scorers in the NBA. We have to use that same argument with Damian Lillard, don't we?
Well, I mean, I think Damian Lillard was a top 5 player, at least in the MVP balloting this year anyway. He was in my top 5, granted he was 5th in that ballot, but I mean, he's a far more proven commodity than Devin Booker or TJ Warren or anybody at this point. He's just, you know, got a spotlight on him and frankly a greater need for him. I mean, CJ McCollum was great last night, but you know, the game before against Dallas, McCollum was brutal, and they needed all of Lillard's 61 points in that game. So I just think with Lillard, and to a lesser degree with Devin Booker, he's been pretty good for a pretty long time, you're just getting to see him shine in key situations.
All right, so how much of a challenge do you think Memphis will be in this play-in thing?
You know, on paper you say not at all, right? But the Trailblazers kind of have a knack for making things more difficult than themselves. And that's, you know, part of that is that they don't defend anybody. I mean, if you look at you know, what they've been doing on that end of the floor, it's nothing. They're just outscoring people every single time out. So, you know, if Memphis can get some, you know, some guys going offensively, they've got a shot. But beating Portland twice, which is what they're going to have to do, I just don't see it. Not with that Blazers team as experienced as they are and as battle-tested as they are. I think Memphis achieved what it set out to achieve. And, you know, you can certainly make an argument that they wouldn't be here if Giannis didn't get suspended.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so let's get to the Suns. What does this do for Phoenix? Like, look, Devin Booker was amazing. I'm so happy for Monty Williams, the type of person he is and all he's been through. I think Ricky Rubio doesn't get the credit he deserves. You know, He's a very good defender, and they've always had guys that can get buckets, but he just kind of makes the whole thing work together. You know, like, look, there was even, I mean, Draymond goes on TV and says, you got to get Devin out of Phoenix. Does this change how the world looks at Phoenix going forward?
It should. And, you know, frankly, that Draymond opinion is kind of a lazy one because it was applicable a couple of years ago when, you know, Phoenix was undergoing its, like, third reconstruction, 5 years. Brian McDonough was fired, like, all the coaching changes they've gone through. But you know this, Doug. It's a much more stable organization now. I mean, ownership is still certainly a little shaky at the top with Robert Sarver. But, you know, the GM and James Jones, while inexperienced, is one of the most well-liked former players in the league. Jeff Bauer is there to kind of be the guiding force within that organization. And Monty Williams is excellent. I mean, he's an excellent coach overall, not just over these eight games in the bubble. And I completely agree with you on Ricky Rubio. I mean, I'm one of Ricky Rubio's biggest fans in general, always have been. But his ability to take the ball handling pressure off of Devin Booker, which he had for the last couple of years, be a staunch defender at that position, which takes some of that pressure off of Booker, it's been a game changer for him. So, you know, look, it's a team on the rise, but they're going to have to make some good calls in the draft moving forward. I mean, what would we be thinking about this team if they had Luka Doncic instead of DeAndre Ayton? I mean, I like Ayton, but certainly not as much as Doncic. So they're going to have to hit on some of these mid-level draft picks over the next few years. But the days of, you know, the bad news Suns, so to speak, are over. This is a team that is, at the bare minimum, a trending in the right direction.
How can you hire Luka's national team coach and then not draft Luka?
That draft, this should be a documentary on those first three picks. No, the first four picks up until that point. I mean, this is separate, but forget, you know, you have Igor on staff, and I know Igor was advocating for Luka. How are you the Sacramento Kings? Your entire front office is European, and you pass on maybe the greatest European player of this generation. I don't understand any of that draft.
I don't really either. But whatever. Okay, speaking of Luka, man, you want to talk about bad on defense. Oh, my gosh, Porzingis. So yeah. I had no, like, I knew it was not good in New York, but I didn't. It feels like we're learning a lot more about guys. Maybe it's because they're playing more often or there's nothing else on. I don't know. But what about Luka? How is he viewed as one of the top five guys in the league by guys in the league?
I think so. And it's more of a feeling at this point. I haven't polled those guys specifically, but, you know, there's enormous respect and admiration and whatever adjective you want to choose for what Luka's been able to do. Now, he wasn't great in every game in this, you know, reseeding games, but sure. I mean, that's, you know, that team has had a lot of problems themselves, not the least of which is, you're right, Porzingis' defense and their defense overall has been pretty bad. But, I mean, he's a superstar. I mean, there's all this talk about Luka Doncic being the most improved player. I mean, what is that all about? Like, he was an all-star. Like, he's supposed to keep improving as that high a draft pick. I mean, this guy, you know, I think if Dallas grows as a team and gets themselves in the mix for a top 4 or 5 seed, he could be MVP next year. I mean, he's that good and that widely respected. I just think he's a superstar already.
Yeah, I would agree. What's how fixable are the Lakers' problems?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on which Kyle Kuzma shows up in the playoffs, right? I mean, you know, the Kyle Kuzma pre-pandemic was making less than 30% of his threes. The Kyle Kuzma, you know, in the seeding games is making close to 40. So if he's that type of shooter, okay. But I think LeBron nailed it when he said, we need Kyle Kuzma to be our third best player. And that's a lot to ask, you know, for a guy that young stepping into, you know, this type of situation, because they're not getting a lot of help from a lot of these other guys. I mean, Danny Green you can count on eventually. Like, he's proven enough to believe in him. But, I mean, Deion Waiters is shooting something like 23% from three. I can't imagine you're going to see much of J.R. Smith when he, you know, when he's shooting like 16% from three or something like that in this this reseeding. So their guard play is legitimately suspect. And if more than one guy doesn't step up and make threes, they could have problems beginning maybe in that first round.
Yeah. I actually look at LeBron, who led the league in assists. I actually look at that as being kind of a flaw to this team, right? Where he's, some of that is LeBron, you know, playing point guard, taking control of things. But some of that is they just don't have anybody else who can create a shot.
Yeah.
And so while it looks great for LeBron at this point in his career, who could end up going down as the all-time leading scorer to lead the league in assists, Will Chamberlain did that once upon a time. I think it only shows the flaw in the construction at the offensive end of this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's magnified, of course, by not having Avery Bradley. I mean, a lot of people, and I rarely get to take victory laps on predictions, but I mean, I said when Avery Bradley was signed, he was going to be part of that team. You know, everybody was kind of looking at Avery Bradley as the guy that stumbled through a couple of years at the Clippers. He had a lot left in the tank, and he showed that, you know, this year. So, you know, not having a perimeter shooter like him, a defensive stopper, at least somebody that's pretty good on ball, you know, could cost them. Now, I'm not ready to predict a loss for the Lakers in the first round, because even if it is Portland, I have no idea who guards LeBron in that series. Like, who is it? Is it Carmelo? I mean, great story, but I don't know how he actually does it. So I think that's going to push them through. But they get deeper into all this, you know, those flaws that we're talking about, the lack of shooting, maybe the lack of ball handling, the lack of perimeter defense, they're going to be magnified against some of these teams in that second and third round.
Chris Mannix, our guest in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Last thing, I'm looking at the Bucks, and, you know, the Giannis headbutt was a little weird. It's not totally, like, there's been some other things with him, but they were supposedly this amazing machine when they were having the scrimmages, and it was a little clunky when they actually played. What's your thoughts on the state of the Bucks heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, if you had asked me right after the scrimmages, I would have said the Eastern Conference is a wrap. I mean, that Milwaukee team, you know, looked like it had picked up largely where it left off at the end of the pre-pandemic season and just were blitzing guys. But they got into the seeding games and just didn't look comfortable playing off each other. I mean, maybe part of it is reorienting some players, whether it's Pat Connaughton or Eric Bledsoe into the mix. These guys are, especially in the case of Bledsoe, key players. But you could see the frustration, you know, not just on the face of Giannis, but other players out there. They're just not as in sync as they were before this. And frankly, I think that opens the door, Doug, for a team like Toronto. I mean, Toronto is just such a ridiculous story, but I look at them and, you know, the way they play this, and they're the kind of the reverse of Milwaukee. They are completely comfortable playing with each other. They have had a pretty strong overall seeding games, and they're going into the playoffs with great chemistry. So I think the Raptors, if they wind up with the Bucks in the conference finals, these two teams still look largely the same. I'd favor Toronto in a series like that.
Awesome stuff. That is the voice of the one and only Chris Mannix. Mannix, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the bubble. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, Doug.
All right. To Mannix, who's flying down his side pieces as we speak, right? That's the big... I'm kidding. An NBA contender is getting a key piece back in the bubble. Tell you who that is next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. This is Doug Gottlieb. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to leave the house, leave the studio, rediscover the road. The first ever Mazda CX-30 is made for people who love to drive. If that's you, then go to MazdaUSA.com and learn more about the entire Mazda CUV lineup and available finance options.
The press.
And buyers.
Doug, go. Let's start out with some NFL news. Houston Texans now saying that there won't be any fans at their first home game of the season. That's week two against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
There will not?
Will not.
Huh.
There will not.
Two.
I mean, look, it's like I have a friend who lives in Houston. He's like, dude, it literally feels like you're walking into an oven right now. I just, I'm intrigued. Like, if they left the roof open and they socially distanced, you couldn't get any fans in there?
Roger that.
I guess it's just too expensive.
Why?
Yeah, why? Good question.
Here, you were talking about Baker Mayfield earlier. Here's just a soundbite from what he said, just to wrap that one up.
In a much better state, mentally, obviously physically, just ready to roll, attack it back to, you know, where I need to be the leader for this team, for this franchise. The reason I've gotten here is because I've been myself, been able to attack each and every day with 100% effort.
There it is.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh!
Mayfield.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Some news from college football coming in. North Dakota State confirming they will not play football this fall. They are focused on playing in the spring of 2021 in the FCS and in the Missouri Valley Conference. Now that brings up the question, what to do with quarterback Trey Lance, who some feel could be a first-round pick in the NFL draft.
Right.
Well, if you're a quarterback, I don't know if you're as likely to get hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
there's still
if they're looking for spring in North Dakota, that's like June.
Well put. Five-star defensive end Jack Sawyer of Pickerington, Ohio, who's committed to Ohio State, will not play high school football this fall. Instead, he will train for his early enrollment at Ohio State in January.
Yep.
So, yeah, were they going to have high school football in Pickering?
There was some question on what's going to happen with the fall season, so he has just opted out. Maybe they'll have to play in the spring, which he wouldn't have been able to if he was going to enroll at Ohio State.
So will he play in the spring at Ohio State?
Well, that's the other question. I would say probably not.
Why? Lose a year?
Yeah, and just because he hasn't been in the system. You know, at least the early enrollees usually have that spring practice, and you've got those months under their belt. It may be a little difficult to make that transition, but it's not like it hasn't been done before. The Chicago Bulls today fired head coach Jim Boylan. His winning percentage, .317 in Chicago.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I actually like Jim Boylan. I think he's a really good coach, but gosh, it was an interesting run there, right?
Huh?
Where he had a mutiny his third day on the job.
Yeah. Which, listen, if your team stinks, you know, I know they don't want to practice for 3 hours, but maybe they needed it, you know?
Well, it's all in the messaging.
Yeah.
It's all in the messaging.
There's this message.
Like, you guys don't know anything. I know everything. Let's practice so I show you I know everything and you're too exhausted to play.
Clippers head coach Doc Rivers said today he wasn't sure if Montrezl Harrell will be cleared to play Monday as they start their playoff series against the Mavericks, but ESPN says that Harrell will be cleared from quarantine in time to take on Dallas on Monday.
Mm-hmm. So the Clippers getting back just in time, and the Mavericks and their lack of defense just with the doctor ordered.
Finally, I want to wrap up with this because I want to go to the soccer coach, John Ramos. John, what was the worst defeat you ever had at the hands when you coached soccer?
It was a 8-0 loss in the All-Star playoffs.
Okay, Doug. Well, Bayern Munich today routed FC Barcelona 8-2 in the first leg of their Champions League quarterfinal.
And that is the press. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
All right. So, do we have guys? Do we have? Oh, are we set on the playoff matchups, Byer? Are we like?
Yes, we're set. We just don't know the seed between the Pacers and the Heat, and we don't know if the Lakers are going to face the Grizzlies or Blazers. Otherwise, we're set.
So it's fair to assume the Lakers are going to face the Blazers, right? And that becomes the series to watch, and it'll be fascinating. But it's interesting. Like Mannix pointed out something that I've said is we get so fascinated with ball going through basket. The Lakers are flawed in construction with not enough shot creators and shot makers, but they're a great defensive team. And traditionally, that always carries over, right? Like, I don't love using cliches, but the cliche of is offense wins games, defense wins championships is in fact true. So I know we're supposed to be freaking out about Portland. If you're the Lakers, I wouldn't freak out because water does find its level. Have a great weekend. Playoffs are upon us. We'll cover them on the Doug Gottlieb Show.